Episode 135. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Wahid Tanner and will be your host today. When you want to identify class instances or data records, you can't use things like passports. Yet it's just as important to keep track of object identities as it is for people. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code live class? Text PROGRAM to the short number 44222 and you'll be on your way. One simple way to keep track of things like this is to just use a number. Even a simple unsigned integer should give you over 4 billion numbers. Just start at 0 and increment each time you need a new one. You can even start at 1 just in case you want to reserve 0 to mean something special. What can go wrong? Plenty. What do you do if you want to create objects from different threads? You could have a synchronized and thread-safe identity factory that hands out new numbers for any thread that needs one. But then it becomes a source of contention as threads have to wait their turn. Maybe you let a thread ask for more than one identity number at a time. That could work, but let's think about the long-term use. You're going to want to save the state of your factory so that when the user exits the app and starts again later, you don't want the factory to start over at an ID of 1. It needs to remember which numbers have already been taken. What happens when the user upgrades versions and the saved identity numbers get mixed up with some older copy? Actually, this can happen anytime. If the user has a backup service, then it's always possible that some files could get restored while others remain. This can cause your application to start issuing numbers that have already been used to identify other objects, and now you can't tell them apart. If this is a large customer, the damage could be severe. And even if you solve all these problems, you still have issues. What do you do when your application and some customer's use becomes so big that you have to split some tasks between computers? Many large-scale applications rely on this ability for reasons of scale and for redundancy. Computers are just machines that can break. If a customer relies on your application, then that customer will want to have systems in place to make sure that a single point of failure doesn't bring down the entire application. This all means that now your simple identity factory needs to go beyond just thread-safe and be prepared to serve identities to multiple machines. The complexity just went way up. GUIDs solve all these issues in a simple way that not only works now, but can scale later when needed. A GUID stands for a globally unique identifier. I'll explain how right after this message from our sponsor. If you need help with your programming, all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free or paid live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. There's currently room for 25 people to attend, and as of now, the 1-hour intro class is free, and the 2-hour beginner class is $20. There's a lot more that I can explain when you can see my screen and ask questions. Text the word PROGRAM to the number 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. First of all, GUIDs are huge, and I mean that in a good way. They use 128 bits, and an article on Wikipedia gives an idea of just how many values are possible. It says that in order for the probability of a single duplicate GUID value to reach 50%, then every person on Earth would need to own 600 million GUIDs. What this means for you is that you no longer have to worry about how to ensure that your identifiers are unique. Just generate a GUID value and use it. When you need another one, you don't increment the first one. That's not how GUIDs work. Instead, you generate a whole new GUID each time you need one. Sometimes, instead of uniquely identifying each object, you want something that's still unique to your application, but that you can count on to be the same for any computer that uses your application. You can use GUIDs for this, too. All you have to do is generate a GUID manually. There are even websites you can visit that will generate as many GUIDs as you need. You can then use these GUIDs in your application. Usually, these manually generated GUIDs are used to identify a type of something instead of individual instances. Maybe you need to define and later identify messages that your app will use. You'll need some way to tell what type of message your app received so you can look for a specific GUID for this. Then, if you want to store each of these messages and be able to keep them separate, well, this is getting away from the type and now needs new individual GUIDs for each message stored. These individual GUIDs will need to be generated by your application code. You'll usually have an operating system call you can use to create GUIDs, or maybe a library. They're a popular solution and should have wide support for generating them. You don't need to make a web service call to some website, though, to get your new GUIDs. That's just for you to be able to easily generate GUIDs manually. There are different versions of GUIDs. You don't normally need to know about this to be able to use them, so I'll just mention that some GUIDs base many of their bit values on the MAC address of your computer's network card, and other GUIDs are generated completely from random, or more likely pseudo-random values. Check out episode 35 about random numbers for more information. I should mention that the only things you can meaningfully do with GUIDs are generate them and test them for equality. What I mean is that there's no concept of one GUID being less than or greater than another GUID. They're equal or not. They're not incremented like a simple number. And they don't look like a number either. When you see a GUID displayed, it's usually formatted as 32 hexadecimal numbers separated into 5 uneven groups with dashes between each group. Sometimes the formatted value will appear inside curly braces, and sometimes in quotation marks. Sometimes any hexadecimal characters will be in uppercase, and sometimes in lowercase. Just remember that this is just for display purposes. A GUID is still just 128 binary bits. You can also identify that some text represents a GUID by adding UUID colon in front of the GUID. This stands for Universally Unique Identifier. A GUID is actually just an implementation of the more general UUID standard. While a GUID is pronounceable, you'll have to say the letters UUID. Some programming languages will refer to GUIDs, and some will refer to UUIDs. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout-out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you'll learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.